This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on winding up a company. I'm joined by Barrister Matthew McGee of 20 Essex Chambers in London. Matthew is regularly instructed to appear in the county court and in all of the divisions of the High Court, and as part of his practice, he undertakes work to obtain urgent court orders concerning emergency relief on financial matters. Matthew has also published a book called A Practical Guide to Cyber Fraud Litigation. Hello, Matthew. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Hattie. It's a pleasure to be able to record with you again.
Pleasure to have you here with us. So, winding up a company. According to statistics reported by the Insolvency Service, in the second quarter of 2021, liquidations were up by 39% in comparison to the previous quarter one. One in 386 companies liquidated in the 12 months ending in the second quarter of 2021. And the sectors that have been hit the hardest with the most insolvencies have been construction, accommodation, wholesale and retail. At the start of the coronavirus pandemic, temporary provisions were put into place under the Corporate Insolvency and Governance Act 2020 to allow businesses impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic breathing space from the threat of winding up action. So, let's talk about this, Matthew. What does it mean to petition to wind up a company? Why would you do it? Let's explain that to our listeners, please.
Yes, absolutely. To start with, effectively, winding up a company is bankruptcy for companies, in short. And not wanting to start a duel of statistics with you straight off the bat, but it is something that is generally thought is going to be really just coming round the corner, a whole raft of insolvencies of companies because of the coronavirus effect and also the protections, which we'll probably get onto. But I did see some analysis the other day by a law firm saying that over the past 18 months, there have been 80% fewer winding up petitions than there were in the 18 months before the pandemic.
That's interesting.
Huge pent-up, I wouldn't want to say demand, but pent-up pressure, which may suddenly be released when the coronavirus situation passes and we suddenly have all these companies being wound up potentially.
So why would you do it? A winding up petition, it was known as a WUP as well, is a legal action taken by creditor, essentially, or creditors against any company that owes them money. Although others can petition as well. So, I mean, a company, if they know you can't pay, why would they petition to wind you up? Seems pretty cruel.
It is. It's a pretty serious step, and the courts therefore are cautious about only doing it in the right situations, because what it does is it takes the company away from the control of the people who run it normally and the people who own it, and it puts it in the hands of a professional person, normally an accountant, it doesn't have to be, and effectively that person's role is to sell off all of the company's assets and do the best job it can in paying back all of the company's debts. And normally it's a situation where all of the debts will not be paid back in full.
And one of the things you mentioned earlier is that we're going to see potentially an upsurge of winding up bankruptcies, liquidations and things like that after the government supports end. And I know we're going to talk about that in a little while, of when the government support ends and what the government support actually means in layman's terms. And that's quite interesting because the statistics you mentioned of the fact that previously to the last 18 months, there was more winding up petitions than there's been through the pandemic because of the government support that's kicked into place. And I think that's something that we just ought to keep an eye on, because it's natural that once the support drops by the wayside, a bit like furlough, when furlough came to an end on the 31st of September 2021, October's been a bit of a shaky month for some people in terms of very unfortunate events of losing their jobs or being recontracted, and some companies as well, where they've just not been able to financially support keeping all of their staff on in the numbers that they've had. But what should somebody do if their company's been petitioned to wind up? I mean, I know that we've said they have to owe £750 or more, and the company that's petitioning to wind your company up, or person that's petitioning to wind your company up, must be able to prove that you cannot pay. So what's the first steps that somebody should do in those circumstances, Matthew?
I mean, I suppose the first and obvious thing is don't ignore it, because if you just ignore it, you're liable to then receive a notice in the post a few weeks later saying the company's now out of your control. So the first thing really is getting in touch with the person who has tried to wind up your company, the petitioner. You can instruct lawyers, of course, but equally in the context of company winding ups, it's quite common that you have the directors themselves turning up and explaining matters to the court, which is very receptive to that. So it's certainly not something where you have to tool up and get a lot of lawyers involved. Ultimately, the question is going to be, is the debt accepted by you, by the company, or do you have some sort of question over it? So the purpose behind winding up is not to have a fight between the petitioner and the company as to whether the debt is owed or not. The court's very clear this is not a method of dispute resolution. This is a process of debt recovery and actually bringing the company to an end. It's only suitable for debts which are not capable of serious dispute. So if somebody petitions to wind up your company and you don't think that actually you owe the debt they're claiming, that is the most important thing, because if that's correct, if there's enough of a debate there, the whole petition process is derailed, the petition's dismissed, and effectively the petitioner is told to go again and do it properly, this time by starting county court claim or a high court claim.
That's very interesting. That's a very interesting point, and I think a very key point for somebody in the position of being on the other side of the receiving end of a winding up petition. If you feel that the debt is disputed, then your defence can simply show that and explain why, and enough detail is never enough detail, because you need to explain to a judge and a court why it's disputed and be able to prove that. And essentially what could happen in those circumstances, as you explained, is a judge could say, well, this isn't a valuable, viable winding up petition, because there's a dispute over whether this money is owed and how much is owed, etc. Go away, resolve that argument, and then come back to us here. So I think that's really, really key. But if you do owe the money, if you say, look, hands up, I do owe that money as a business, I think that it's sound to say don't ignore it and try to liaise with the company that's petitioned to wind up your business, to try and come to some sort of financial arrangement. And I've said this before in other podcasts, that you can stick to, even if it's something very, very minimal. At least you're showing goodwill, and it's something that you can keep up with, rather than saying, oh, great, yes, I'll give you all this money every single month, and then you can't keep up with that, and it will make you look less favourable in those circumstances. But if somebody wants to pay the company debts, so by the time the winding up petition turned up, they're thinking, right, I can actually scrimp and scrape, or I can raise money, or I can rejuggle the finances, and I can do it, but trading's been difficult due to the coronavirus. What was the position of winding up petitions presented or issued before the 1st of October 2021? Because what we do know is that the government has it's repositioned the support to businesses up to October 2021, 1st of October. And then what's the position of winding up positions presented or issued after 1st of October 2021, Matthew?
Yeah, so this is the difference. There's two different coronavirus regimes that have been put in place to protect against winding up. But just rolling back a little bit to what you were saying a moment about putting together a sensible payment plan. mean, that's another way that you can actually formally get rid of the winding up petition entirely. Ooh. if you can come up with a payment plan, but also secure the debt in some way. So if say you owe £10,000 to a particular creditor, and the company has some valuable property that is capable of having a charge registered against it, a formal interest that the creditor has, that if you fail to meet your payment plan, the creditor is then entitled to sell the company's valuable asset. If that can be done, then effectively the court's going to say, well, the debt's not been paid, however, you have secured the debt to its full value, and therefore there's no purpose in the winding up petition. So that, as well with saying the debt's disputed, can put the whole thing off.
That's very interesting. But what if you turn up to court and the directors representing themselves and they say, look, we've offered this security, we've offered this payment plan, and the petitioner is not accepting it? Could a court then try and almost mediate or make a decision in that situation to assist the parties?
Short of actually offering full security for the whole debt, no, it can't. If the debt is due, the creditor is entitled to it, so the court's got no power to say you're acting unreasonably, you should allow payment plan over the next year, for example.
Well, that's interesting.
But what does happen quite frequently, particularly when you have companies turning up and saying, we accept the debt, but we need some time to pull together funds. You know, the shareholders are going to club together and they're going to pay off this debt to keep the company running. The court is very willing, certainly at the first hearing and sometimes at subsequent hearings, to effectively allow some time for that to happen. It's not going to be very long periods of time. The court will happily allow a month, maybe 2 months at a time, if there is a clear indication of where the money is going to come from. The company can't just turn up and say, we want more time to see what we can do. There's got to be a very clear explanation, whether that's because the company is expecting some money in from a big client, or whether the directors are going to take out a personal loan with a bank to generate the money. If some explanation can be given as to where the money is coming from, when it's to be expected, then the court's going to give you some breathing space.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's all very useful to know. And it's useful to know that a court won't actually sit there and say, right, okay, well, petitioner, the debtor has actually offered to secure the debt now. Would you accept that? Why won't you accept that? So the court's not there to try and sort of work this out between the two. But the winding up petition is very clear cut, is what we're saying. If the debt is owed, it's accepted. You have to be able to prove that either you can satisfy the creditor by securing it or raising the money very, very quickly if you're in a hearing to try and discuss that. Or if you can't, then you can't. But, you know, in terms of the government support, businesses have had support since June 21, right up until October, the 1st of October this year, 21, to help companies in financial distress. So if you've had a winding up petition, what was the situation? Could winding up petitions be even issued from the 1st of June and up until October?
Yes, but subject to some restrictions. I suppose by the time this is going to go out, we're obviously going to be past the 1st of October.
Yes.
But petitions don't get heard immediately when they're presented. So it could well be that one of your listeners is sitting there with a petition that was issued before the 1st of October, but either hasn't been heard yet, or has been heard once, or but has been sort of sent back to be heard again. Now, here that there were a couple of restrictions put in place by the Corporate Governance Act that you mentioned at the outset. There were really three main protections for company, or restrictions for, the petitioning creditor,
yes,
depending on what your perspective is.
Yes.
The first is that the normal step before any winding up petition is made is a document called a statutory demand. And a statutory demand is on a very sort of pre-templated form, which is sent to a company saying, you owe us this money, pay it within 21 days. And what the first protection was in the coronavirus legislation was to say you cannot send these statutory demands out within the relevant period up to the 1st of October.
So between June and October. So somebody has to, before you go through with the winding up petition, you've had to have served a statutory demand.
You don't have to. The way it works is if you serve a statutory demand saying, you owe us this money, you must pay it within 21 days. If that's not then paid, you're entitled to go to the court and say, I'm relying on the fact that I issued this statutory demand and it's not been paid. That is evidence that the company cannot pay its debts.
Right.
And that's the key thing. So you petition to wind up a company normally because it cannot pay its debts. So the statutory demand is just a way of
proving
that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So what the first protection is, it took away that way of proving the company couldn't pay its debts. So instead, a petitioning creditor's got to go along and rather than just say, I sent this form off and they've not paid, it's got to say, here is the whole history of the debt, here are all the details of when it fell due, all of my attempts to chase it, all of the company's responses. It's a little bit more detailed and difficult.
Okay. Okay. And what were the other two?
Yes, so that's the first protection. The second one is then a restriction on the ability to present the petition. That's what I mentioned earlier. And what the law said is that a person cannot petition to wind up a company unless the person has reasonable grounds to believe that either coronavirus has had no financial effect on the company or that the petition would still be justified even effectively accounting for the effect that coronavirus has had.
So effectively, what we're saying is that the petitioner, the person applying to wind up a company, has to be able to prove that the coronavirus actually didn't affect the business that owes them the money.
Yes.
At all.
Either at all, or that even if coronavirus hadn't happened, the company would still be in the situation
it's in
and be unable to pay.
Right. Okay.
So the very obvious thing that does is it means if your business had to close for coronavirus and that meant that you suddenly stopped being unable to pay your debts, you can't be wound up on that basis. That's the whole idea.
Okay. All right. And the third?
The third is then, it's almost a copy of that, but from the court's perspective. So we just dealt with the restriction saying you, the creditor, cannot present a petition. There's then a second limb that even if you present the petition, the court can only make a winding up order putting the company into liquidation if it is satisfied that the winding up petition is justified, even accounting for any coronavirus, any effect the coronavirus had on the company finances.
Right.
So there you're effectively having to run through an exercise of assume that the pandemic had never happened, assume that trading carried on as normal, what would the position be in? And that's quite a complicated exercise to do this far removed from the start of events.
No, of course it is. Goodness, you'd have to go back in prehistoric accounts and trading accounts if they existed and all sorts. I mean, it does, I think, it does get complicated, but that's for petitions that have been issued still, even given the protections that the three main protections that we just discussed between June 21 and 1st of October 21. My understanding of after October 21 to try and protect businesses up until 31st of March 2022. On repayment of relatively small debts, because we have already discussed that you have had to have a debt of at least £750. But I think that the government's temporarily raised the current debt threshold for winding up petitions to £10,000 or more.
Yeah, you're right. So that this is the new system which is in play now through till the end of March, although that date may well be extended. So that the previous protections, the first lot that we've already discussed, were only in place for 6 months initially, but the end date kept on being pushed back.
Yes.
So at the moment it's March 2022, but it could be much later. But you're right, the key protection is that it gets rid of the ability to wind up companies for relatively small debts.
Yes.
And this is obviously a great relief to those companies which might have difficulty paying every single bill as they come through with the tail end of the pandemic still having an effect. But I think actually what sometimes is overlooked is small companies also rely on making their own winding up petitions against other small companies sometimes or bigger companies. So the ability to make winding up petitions is not solely big creditors.
For the big boys coming after the little boys.
Exactly.
No, I think that's an interesting point, Matthew.
so that there's always a balance with looking at how much protection should we give. Because whilst, yes, we're protecting companies from being wound up, we're also stopping them gathering in their debts sometimes.
Well, I think that has to be right, because, you know, you automatically assume that pushing for bankruptcy, pushing for winding up a company, you know, is the bigger boy, the stronger person coming after the smaller and the weaker company or person. However, I think you've made a very, very interesting point there. And you could be a small company that's relying on that income to be able to continue trading from a bigger company that's just not really wanting to pay, or from another smaller company who's trying to sort of, you know, get away with not paying. They genuinely can't pay. They think they may be able to, and it goes on and on and on, and it's putting you under financial pressure, and therefore winding them up, knowing that you're, you know, the liquidators can get their hands, or the accountants can get their hands on some valuable assets that will give you the majority of what you're owed, or even all of it, would help you stay in business. It's very interesting, because you don't really think about it like that from the top, do you? It is it can be very easily a domino effect.
Precisely, yeah. So I think you do have to be quite careful with that sort of thing. And I suppose linked to that, you often have this impression that landlords particularly tend to be the big boys. They're the ones who've got, you know, huge portfolios, perhaps, and are often the source of winding up petitions for non-payment of rent.
Rent, yes.
That is actually one specific protection which is in the new scheme. It wasn't in the old one, but it is in this new scheme that's currently in play. And the debt that is being claimed not only has to be £10,000 or more, but it also can't be rent for business premises.
I think that's very interesting, because, you know, we all think of landlords as the bigger boys with the more money and everything else, which maybe most of them are, or some of them are. But there's, you know, most landlords have got debt on their properties. They've had to take out mortgages and borrowing to buy those properties. So it really, you know, for me, I think that we have to try and see the other side of the coin. I mean, we were just saying this just now, but particularly when it comes to landlords, if you've got mortgages on a portfolio of properties and you've got no protection, if you can't collect your rent to repay your mortgages, goodness, where on earth do you stand?
And likewise, you're not going to get very much sympathy from the banks, because if banks have your mortgages and you're not going to be able to pay because you're not being paid rent, they're not going to sit around for too long before they start calling in their debts.
So, yeah, goodness. And essentially what we're saying is the new laws that were put into place from 1st of October that essentially have been announced to be in place until the 31st of March 22, you cannot have a winding up petition brought against you by your landlord for non-payment of rent.
Yes, it's specifically for certain types of leases, but broadly it's going to be business leases.
Yes. I think it's important to also mention that these measures will cover England, Scotland and Wales. Northern Ireland will implement similar legislation, we're told, to mirror these measures. But yes, I mean, it could be until 31st of March 2022, which is what it's announced to be in place as, or it could be a lot longer than that if it's pushed forward. So what happens if somebody genuinely cannot pay the debts, they've got a winding up petition against them? What tips can we give people in that position, Matthew? Very hard place to be.
It is. I suppose you genuinely cannot pay the debts. There's a sense in which it might not be the most palatable situation, but perhaps you need to take the view that actually winding up is in those circumstances the best bet for the company.
Cut your losses.
Well, I suppose you just have to take, I suppose, a realistic view at that stage. This is bring everything to a head. Okay, does my company actually have a future here? Does it have a financial future? If not, then actually perhaps liquidation is the best way forwards. If, however, you can see a way through, you do believe that the company is going to be viable, but it's just got a temporary issue, then that's when you can look to alternative sources to try and stave off the winding up petition, either settle the debt or to enter some sort of payment plan. And there, I suppose the question is, do you want to almost double down? Do you back your company enough to take out potentially a personal loan, because you're not going to be very likely to get a commercial loan for your company because the banks will see that your company is being petitioned to be wound up. So it's a very difficult position to be in because it's really requiring you to think with both head and heart about what you want to be doing in that situation.
No,
I suppose what I would say, though, is it's always worth considering how viable your company is, but particularly at the moment where you might have some sort of relief under the coronavirus protections, you might find yourself to be in a relatively safe position where you're not being the subject of winding up petitions because of those protections. But nevertheless, you do have to give some serious thought to whether or not your company is going to be viable when those protections end, because it's no good trading for another 3, 4, 5, 6 months and then suddenly everything coming crashing down. Not least because if you knew that the company was in dire straits, then you're going to be in a situation where actually when the company does collapse into liquidation, you might find people coming after you personally.
And I think that's really, really important stuff, because as you say, the debt's just not going to disappear. If the debt is agreed and accepted, it's just not going to disappear into thin air, even when the restrictions come to an end. I mean, the government has mentioned implementing something called a rent arbitration scheme to do with commercial rent debts accrued during the pandemic for landlords. But because obviously, as we mentioned earlier, landlords could very likely have a debt on the property that you're renting out, have a mortgage on that, and then they're getting into debt themselves as your rent is not being collected. But I think it is really, it's a tough place. It's a tough place for anybody. And I have to say, you know, when I drive down the high street and I see any closed shop or empty space, and I knew there was a shop there and a business there that I've seen for years, over the years, it my heart does sink. And it's really not a great place to sit there and think, right, this is over, this is finished. But maybe just if you think, like you said, with head and heart, and you think, well, actually, I just can't go on in this form, you maybe have to let go of that form, allow it to you know, be closed down and start up in another form, in another way, where your financial liabilities are less, your expenditures are less, you know, restructure your brand, operate in a different way. I mean, life has changed for so many of us over the last 18 months, 20 months, due to the coronavirus pandemic, and doing business in different ways has become more acceptable than what it was before. I have read and seen large companies giving up large office spaces and saying to people, work from home. And you know, undoubtedly, that reduces their bottom line and the rent they owe on office space. I've seen retailers shifting businesses online. And then again, giving up, you know, properties that they've had to rent. Then I've seen businesses, pop-up shops coming up where you know, the local councils are supporting businesses to try and get through this period and trade in those ways. So there's some, I think, you know, if we try and step away from the negativity of it all, and I said to you at the beginning of this podcast, didn't I, Matthew, it can be tough, this sort of subject, to bring a lightness to it. But if you step away and just try to think clearly of, if you want to continue your business, but in its current form, there's just too much debt, there's just too much to try and get out of when the support is over, or, you know, or at them, even at this time, look at, well, how can I restructure it to help it trade in another form, in another way, in a fresh way, where I'm not going to have all the liabilities. But very interesting podcast, Matthew.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be able to chat to you as ever. But I agree, potentially this last period of protections, whether that's until March 2022 or a little bit longer, however long it lasts for, potentially that is a nice window in which to take a bit of a soul search and think, okay, what's the future of my business?
Absolutely, absolutely. And for further help, actually, Matthew is a direct access barrister as well, which means that you can go directly to his chambers and speak to his clerk at 20 Essex and ask for advice and get advice. The process would be you'd call 20 Essex and say, I'd like to instruct Matthew McGee for some work. This is my issue. The clerk will then talk you through the process. And that way you don't need to spend more money by going through a solicitor. If Matthew can help you, he will tell you that, or his clerk will deliver that. And fees can become very manageable in that way, but it's a very good way to try and get assistance, legal assistance, at a lower cost than instructing a solicitor's firm and a barrister, but for further help, if you have a limited company that cannot pay its debts, then there is assistance also on the gov.uk website, which you can access for free by typing in dealing with limited company debt into the search bar. So Matthew, thank you so much for joining me today. And I know we're going to do a part two on this because there's just far too much to cram in and into a sort of half an hour podcast.
Lovely. I'll look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And what I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.